everybody, and welcome to episode 51 of On the Road with Auto Trader, where we make car stuff simple for Canadians. My name is Jody Lai, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Auto Trader.
And I am Auto Trader's road test editor, Anon. No, that's just a little callback to last episode's gaffe, where I read a name. We had these questions. If you didn't listen to episode 50, we did a question, an entire episode of Ask an Expert questions, and so Jody had them all printed out, and I opened it, and it was like name, and I just read it and then realized that it was short for anonymous.
He was like, I think I might be pronouncing this wrong, but Anon?
I just thought it was French, but anyways, no, my name is actually Dan Alika, and I am Auto Trader's road test editor / rant expert.
Yeah, it's true. So yeah. Big treat in store for you guys. Our first road rage rant episode did really, really well. Like, you guys went nuts over it, and so I also got a lot of feedback that they're like, people are like, I love when Dan gets really ranty on episodes. So this episode is fully dedicated to road rage rants. Because Dan and I drive around so much, we witness so much foolishness out there on the roads. And basically, we have weekly meetings like all the time. And we basically always start off our meeting by recounting all the idiocy we see when we're driving around. Yeah. So on this episode, you'll get a little bit of an insight into those conversations.
Both of us, but like our process for evaluating vehicles, right, is like we want to drive them as much as possible so that we get the best, you know, sense of what they're like to live with. So when I pick up a vehicle, like I kick off my week every time with like a 200, just over 200 kilometer drive where I'm on the highway, I'm on some back roads, I'm in the city, so I get a nice mix. And quite often I come back from those with stories to tell. And what kind of triggered this episode, doing another one of these road rage rants, is the other day I was driving the Mercedes GLS 580, and it has both adaptive cruise control and like adaptive braking, where it'll even without adaptive cruise on, it'll slow down as in response to other vehicles on the road. But I was on a, you know, what I would call like a secondary highway, three lanes wide, and the speed limit was 80. And I was in the middle lane behind a guy, and I couldn't tell you how fast he was going. But I had my cruise control set to 98.
Okay.
I came up behind him, and then it took over.
The car slowed down,
so it was keeping a safe gap. And Mercedes is pretty good. It doesn't keep too wide of a gap, but it's also not too narrow. I would comfortably say I was at least two car lengths behind, which is
a safe distance.
That's the safe distance. And I was just minding my own business, enjoying the tranquility of this Mercedes, and this guy brake checked me. And then opened his window and flipped me the bird. And I was like, I was blown away.
Because you were doing literally nothing wrong.
I was not tailgating him. I was not trying to go. First of all, I could have gone around him on either side if I wanted to. Like, the left lane was open and so was the right lane. And contrary to some misconceptions out there, you know, yes, you are supposed to pass on the left. However, you can pass on the right if it is safe to do so. And in this situation, on a three-lane highway, there would have been nothing wrong with me doing that. But I was comfortable and fine in my situation, but apparently this guy wasn't. But this vehicle was not, even if I wanted to tailgate this guy, which I did not and I never want to do, it wouldn't have let me because it had taken over.
Yeah.
This guy's overreaction just like, it took a lot for me to you know, stay within myself and not, because I was like, come on, dude. Like,
he was just being a jerk for no reason. But I think he got so upset because people are really unaware of how much space is actually around their car.
Yeah, and I think it's funny because this it's a conversation I've had with a few people over the years, but my mom had recently said to me, she's like, you know, you get into all these different vehicles, and she's like, how long does it take you to get used to them? And I thought it was like a valid question. Now, I think because we switch between vehicles so much, I think we just have an ability to get used to vehicles and their dimensions, you know, more quickly than the average person. But there is validity to that, right? Where people don't necessarily understand their dimensions and where their vehicle is in relation to other vehicles, mm-hmm. to obstacles, to whatever. And so this guy, you know, clearly perceived, you know, this vehicle behind him as, you know, too close. And it was absolutely, guys, those of you who know me, and Jody knows me well, we've known each other for an awful long time. I am nothing if not honest. Mm-hmm. And if I was, you know, tailgating this guy, or if I was, you know, kind of messing with him, I would fully admit that right away.
But you would never do that.
I was literally just driving on the highway as you do. And that was his reaction. And it was so aggravating to me.
I mean, good for you for not like losing it. That's very frustrating. Yeah. I would have been really upset. But like similar story, but a little bit different. I was on a 3-lane highway in the very, very right lane. I think I had my cruise control set to like 107. So like not going slow. I was in the right lane.
You were coming after my crown as the most efficient driver on the
team. I was trying really hard. I was in an EV, so I really wanted to get like the best efficiency, right? So I was trying really hard not to be lead foot lie, okay? So I'm in the right lane. This guy comes right up to my bumper, right? And I'm very aware of all the space around my car, but he was right up against my bumper. And he started flashing. He like flashed his lights at me. I was going to say he flashed me, but that was not true. That's the after hours episode. But he flashed his lights at me. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? I'm in the right lane. That's the lane you're supposed to go slower. Yeah. You have two full lanes to pass me. What is your problem? And there was no other traffic. So I was like, what? I did not understand. It was a Tesla, but I'm just saying.
Of course it was. There are certain truths in this world that are just undeniable. Unfortunately, it's like Jody and I were driving here today, coming to the studio to record. We're in same sort of thing. We were in the right lane on the 401, just chit-chatting, doing our thing. A guy in a Porsche Cayenne GT, go figure, merged onto the highway. And then I would say we probably saw him make at least 20 lane changes in the time that
he was just zipping in and out of lanes, passing people.
Never once used a signal. Not even, like literally not a single time. And I'll tell you guys something, more than anything else, that drives me nuts. I've said it before. I have no idea what the hell you're about to do. No, we're not mind readers. The reason those indicators exist is to indicate what your next move is.
Yeah, but it's also like, buddy, calm down. You bought this expensive performance crossover so you can zip in and out of lines. Like, get a life.
On the 401,
I know. It's like, just take your car to a track. It's get your aggression out in a safe way. Like, what are you even doing?
It really, but yeah, there are, again, some universal truths. You know, I'd say Porsche owners are up there with Tesla owners and BMW.
Really? I always thought Porsche owners were generally like quite respectful on the roads.
I don't know.
They're low key.
Look, I will say maybe more common like 911, but I'm talking about like these like performance SUV. That to me, it's funny because one of the stories that you're about to tell, I won't steal from the story, but I'll name the vehicle. It was an Audi RS5. That is one of those common culprits. And I think it's one of those things. It's like, maybe it's not, but it's almost like that.
I think the car enables certain behavior because you know you can get away with it.
But then the question is, do you think there are as many, you know, jerk Corolla drivers out there, but we just don't read? It's almost like,
maybe,
you know, like when you look at the clock now and it's like, and it's 9/11 and you're like, oh, 9/11. But like, you know, years ago, it never would have registered. You probably looked at the clock with the numbers 9/11 dozens of times and it never registered. And then once that number became significant,
you notice
every time
it more.
You look, you notice it more. Because Corollas are so dime a dozen, there's probably a bunch of jerks driving around in Corollas, but we don't register. Whereas there are fewer Cayenne GTs and fewer Audi RS5s. And so we like clock those.
Maybe. I think it's also because maybe there's like a certain disdain for like rich people who are also really rude.
That's also what I thought when that guy brake checked me that I was in the gym. And I was like, maybe he saw this GLS and the big grill and just, you know, was irked by it.
People do treat me differently in traffic, depending on what kind of car I'm driving. Sure. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But even just going back to that, and this is horrible stereotype, but a lot of Jeep Grand Cherokee SRT drivers, the worst, so aggressive. And Dodge Durango SRT ones too. Which one was that?
Is Durango.
Is it SRT?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about people who drive that big performance SUV. I stay away from them. Like, when I see them, I will not even go near them.
It's part of the territory when you're a member of the Brotherhood of Muscle,
our favorite.
So ridiculous.
But another one, and you didn't know this one, but I was with Chris. We were on the 401 before it turns into the 400.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's an awful merge lane because it has one lane to get onto this major highway. Bad. So it's awful. So there was like a huge lineup to get on the 400. This Cadillac Escalade comes burning through the shoulder at like 100 kilometers an hour in the shoulder to bud everyone. And blazing. And I could think, first of all, it scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Because you just, and it went by so fast, my car was wobbling, right? And I just couldn't think of how dangerous it could be. Like, what if there was someone pulled over on the shoulder? You're not supposed to drive on the shoulder, period.
Yeah.
What was this guy thinking?
I saw a cop pull someone over for that, and it made me so happy.
Instant karma.
Yes, because that we need more of that. But all of that, like, that's the stuff I'm talking about. You can pass on the right, and as long as it's safe to do so, and you're not, you know, you're not doing it when there are people merging, so you're not yielding to the merge lane. If it's just open, sure, you can pass on the right, but that doesn't include the shoulder, man. Like,
it is not a live lane of traffic. And I've seen this so often: is people using the shoulder to pass people, and I can't.
Oh yeah.
I cannot tell you how dangerous that is. Like, don't do that.
I decided, this was like back in the fall, I went up to one of, if not my favorite brewery in the area, Badlands Brewing. If you guys haven't been there and you live anywhere even remotely close to the Greater Toronto area, it is absolutely worth the drive. Sure, you can order online, but support your local breweries. Go to the breweries. I drove up there after a shoot. We had finished early. It was a Friday. And I went, I'm going to, you know, treat myself. And I was coming home. So Highway 10 is the extension of the 410. So that goes all the way up into Collingwood and all that lovely stuff. But Highway 10 is two lanes in either direction. And I was heading south. I was leaving Badlands with my beer in the back, and there was a bit of traffic, and this guy in a Ram 1500 used the center median and drove, I'm not joking you, if I had to guess, like, conservatively, I would say 3 kilometers just down the median and then cut back in front of everyone.
Wow.
And I was like, come on, dude. Like, that's so... That to me, the problem, what bothers me the most is, like, I get it. Nobody likes sitting in traffic, but, like, who the hell are you? Like, where's the entitlement? Why do you get to jump ahead of everyone else who's trying to get home to their families?
Everyone's trying to get somewhere.
I just bought all that beer, man. You don't think I want to drink one of those cold beers? Of course I do. I'm not going to treat everyone else like second-class citizens because I deserve to get home before you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that Cadillac that was, like, whipping through the shoulder, Chris was like, well, maybe he's in an emergency. I'm like, it doesn't matter. If you're in an emergency, call an ambulance because they can do that, right? Like, you don't have that privilege. And so that just drives me nuts, especially, like, the butting in line really, really bothers me.
And we've talked about this before, and you know, using the shoulder, using the median, butting in line. Tow truck drivers are the worst. They are the biggest culprits. And what drives me absolutely mental about it is these are the guys that are responding to collisions. And I do appreciate the fact that sometimes they are there before firefighters and police officers. And they, you know, are quite often, you know, sweeping up the broken glass and broken bits and all that stuff. I appreciate the kind of, like, labor involved. And I know that, you know, what they do, a lot of, you know, their money, their income depends on them getting to these scenes. But the stuff that you watch these guys do that almost cause more collisions, is like, to me, that's the equivalent of a firefighter who, you know, lectures you about, you know, like safe cooking practices at home and then walks around flicking matches in the forest. It's like, come on, dude, you're putting people in harm's way just so you can make your couple hundred bucks towing that car to a body shop.
Yeah.
It, and when you see the police, you know, will post these kind of victory photos on Facebook or on Twitter and whatever, shaming these tow truck drivers for their dangerous driving. And it's like, there needs to be more of that because, you know, especially like if you, I hate the argument, you know, the tow truck drivers will advocate for that. We should be treated like emergency vehicles, move over when we're on the shoulder, give us the right of way, do all this stuff. It's like, okay, fine. If you want that treatment, then don't drive like an absolute idiot.
Yeah. Like earn that respect. Right. Yeah.
And it, because it's the same thing, like when a cop, and I'm not saying all cops are good drivers, there are firefighters. I knew a girl whose dad was a firefighter who was banned from driving the trucks because he had so many, like, not major incidents, but like,
oh no,
scrapes and scratches of cars on the road. This, oh, is no, not, and I won't name the city that this was in, but
you're on hose duty now.
But yeah, he was literally not allowed to drive, oh, anymore. But it's like the standard there, literally this week, there was a story in the Toronto Star of Toronto cop. I don't know if you saw this. It was, I don't know what was going on, but they made a right-hand turn off of or onto Dan Leckie Way in Toronto, mm, and just like continued the radius and drove right into a big light standard and knocked it over near pedestrians. And it was crazy. The airbags deployed, but like the standard there and the shame that people, to me, it's a little bit unfair. People on social media and people in the comments on these news stories, you know, but the point is that, you know, cops are held to this higher standard because they're in these emergency vehicles, right, and we expect them to be good drivers. Is the same not true of tow truck drivers?
Should they be.
Exactly. You know, but it's like the number of times you see them like on their phones. Again, I get it. They're, but that to me is just like, dude, you are supposed to be leading by example. If you are there to clean up the mess that other people are causing through their, you know, poor decisions and whatever mishaps on, yeah, the road, like you should not be driving.
Don't contribute to that.
Exactly. Exactly. Ridiculous. I hate it so much. It's like cabbies, tow truck drivers, and dump truck drivers.
Oh yeah.
Just
delivery drivers too.
Absolutely. I've yet to have any real, in all my years of driving, like,
I mean, like,
I don't get upset with delivery drivers.
I usually don't, because a lot of them are responsible and they do the right thing, right? But there have been so many times that I've been just driving and there is a delivery truck or a van, like a delivery van, pulled over in a live lane of traffic where there is no stopping allowed.
Sure. I get that. But it's, I guess I try to be a little bit empathetic.
Yeah,
where
because
I'm
they're
like,
on deadlines. They got to get stuff done quickly. Because,
you know, think about all of the crap they get from people about packages not being delivered, and with you know, we live in the GTA, right? It's like condos are everywhere, and you know, I don't know what these trucks are supposed, yeah, to do otherwise, but I'm with you, but I've never had any like issues, yeah, where I'm like, oh,
so
that FedEx driver,
I don't mind when they do that, especially if they put their signals on. If they put their flashers on and their signal, I have enough notice. I can move out of the way. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's when they don't do that and it causes a huge like logjam, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
But just to go on your point about the guys on their phone. So I was behind a Jeep Grand Cherokee,
yeah,
and they are just drifting in and out of their lane. I'm like, I'm going to get out of this guy's way because he's clearly not paying attention. So I pulled and I passed him and I like glanced over. Dude was leaned up. He had his phone on a mount on his windshield, and he was watching videos, scrolling through TikTok.
Unbelievable.
What the hell are you doing?
Unbelievable. That to me, I am really like, I do not touch my phone. I'm not just like, you know, I practice what I preach. Like the phone is not, I think I've said this on the show before. If for the parents out there who are, you know, your kids are getting their first car or whatever, and you want to make sure they're safe, the biggest thing that you can do is buy them a car or make them buy a car that has a manual transmission. Not only is it a great skill that quite frankly, is, you know, it's dying. Many people don't know how to drive stick, and I know that the market isn't what it used to be, but it is a great tool to keep that phone out of your kid's hand. If they're shifting gears, they can't be on TikTok. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but this guy was like an older gentleman, but is that some kind of loophole? Like, because it's hands-free.
No.
It's not in his hand. It's on a mount.
That's like all those people that, you know, they're behind the wheel and they're talking on speakerphone. Like, what kind of idiot do you have to be like, that's your solution to hands-free? It's like, well, I'm not holding it to my ear. I'm holding it in front of my face. And you see that all the time.
Oh, all the time.
And I'm like, that to me is like, where's the Darwin Award for these morons? Honestly, that's your reaction.
That's what I thought about this guy who he was literally just scrolling to the fact where he couldn't even keep his car straight, right? And I felt I needed to get out of that guy's way because that guy is bound to get into a hideous accident. I don't want to be casualty of that.
Jody, don't fall for it.
What?
They're not accidents. They're collisions.
Sir, the collisions. My bad.
That's winter tires, right?
Yeah.
People call them snow tires. And I'm like, that's a misnomer. And this goes back to my like newspaper reporting days. Just always, you know, because an accident means that, hey, nobody's at fault.
Yeah.
Like to me, you know, a collision, it still tells the story, but it also does not take away the onus. It doesn't, because, you know, an accident is spilling a glass of milk,
right?
And it's like, oops, that was an accident.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you're in a collision, if you crash your vehicle, you know, it's not an accident. Even if it wasn't intentional, it could have been avoided.
There's some kind of ownership that I think people have to take for sure.
Yeah.
But this guy, it just made me so upset.
Oh, yeah.
And he was going, I think it was like a 70 zone. Which makes it even scarier for me.
I told you about the one the other day. I was driving home and that guy, it's a 50 zone. And not only is there one of those, so there's no photo radar, but there is one of those big flashing, you know, if you're going over the speed limit and it flashes to show you what speed you're doing. There's also this little park that there is constantly cops.
Right.
They sit in there to, you know, take notes, chat, whatever. But it also means that if you're speeding, like there's a good chance you're going to get nicked. So it's a 50 zone. I'm heading home and I was doing 58 because it's a slight, slight downhill. And I'm like, but that's, you know, comfortable enough. And some guy came flying up behind me on his way home, whatever. And then passed me and like cut in front of me to kind of like send the message that I wasn't going fast enough. And A, he didn't signal. B, he cut me off. And then C, we ended up at a red light and I was directly behind him.
Yeah. So what did he gain from all this?
And
literally
I'm like,
nothing.
Exactly. It's like, what a weird, that attitude. I've said this before. I'm not a psychologist. I think there the psychology of that territorial nature, the defensiveness of being behind the wheel. I really think there's something there. I think that's what leads to road rage.
Yeah.
That's what it's this sense of like, you know, like stay away, like this, you know, it's your territory. But it's like, you know, I could understand if I was crawling along that you want to, it's no different than you see it on the highway sometimes of people. That drives me nuts too. Also, if you are one of these people who you're on the highway and look, I always say, the speed limit is 100 on the 401, 110 in other areas. You know, 20 over is more than fast enough, but it is not my job to police how fast other idiots want to go.
No.
If you want to do 140, 150, that's up to you. The left lane is for passing. What I hate is people that come up behind somebody doing 120, let's say, and they're in the left lane and they're banditing. They won't move over. And then, you know, you'll see them flash their high beams, still don't move over. So what do? Go around them, cut them off, and then they camp out in the left lane.
Just to teach them a lesson.
And I'm like, what are you doing? First of all, the thing that's bothering, it's just like, you know, what do they always say? There's always somebody bigger, right? The same applies here. You could be doing 150 and there's some guy doing 152. You do not belong in the, nobody belongs in the left lane. We have the worst, the absolute worst in North America, you know, ability to understand the rules of the road is atrocious. Get out of the left lane. There is no reason for you to be in the left lane. except for when you're passing. The misnomer there is saying that it's the fast lane. It is a passing lane. That is it. Sure. When traffic slows down and it's gridlock, do what you need to do. If it's the left lane, so be it. But once traffic starts flowing again, get out of the left lane until you need to use it to get around someone.
Also, the HOV lane is not a passing lane.
No.
I'm sorry to break it to you because I see this happening all the time.
Yeah.
It's not a passing lane and it's not a fast lane.
Yeah.
It's a high occupancy vehicle
so
lane.
So that is actually a really interesting topic because I have had this you know, issue, for lack of a better term, before, where people come up behind me in the HOV lane, and I am, you know, pretty safe, and I just find, A, your reaction time is better the slower you're going, and B, it's just like overall safety. Like, there's no need to be absolutely ripping down the highway. So if I'm in the HOV lane, let's say, and it's like me and Becky are driving somewhere, and I'll set the cruise control to 120,
which is a respectable
speed. And so many times people come up behind you and it's like they're tailgating you, they're flashing their high beams. So it's like, A, what do you want me to do? Because that double line with the hash marks, you can't cross that, right? If it's possible when it opens up, sure, I'll get out of the way. But 9 times out of 10, that person behind me ends up passing anyways. But it's an HOV lane. Yes, it's the leftmost lane. And, you know, our longtime colleague in this business, Jim Kenzie, really liked to rant about this, how it's like, well, technically it's the left lane, and it's like, no, Jim, but it's not. it's the HOV lane.
Yeah.
The left lane is the one to the right of the HOV lane. The HOV lane is for people, it's supposed to encourage carpooling, and it's for buses. So that, and then of course EVs and stuff. The other thing I don't get mad at that I see a lot of people get mad at is when there's a lone occupant in the HOV lane. That does bother me. However, what we don't know is whether these people are benefiting from, you know, the government's, call it foolish, high occupancy toll thing.
Like, so you can pay to play kind of thing.
Pay for the right to be in that lane without other passengers. But I don't get fired up about that, because although I did have a friend once who tweeted, and it was absolutely hilarious, where it was like, a woman and she had a baby in a car seat in the back, and she was in the HOV lane, and he was like on his way to Toronto and he was running late. And when he arrived, he tweeted, like, you know, just a special thanks to the mom and her baby who decided to carpool to keep an extra car off the road today. And I was like, that's hilarious. Cause it's like, she's using a loophole.
It's kind of a loophole. Yeah.
Totally.
But it's fine. It's within the legal.
Exactly. Yeah. I just thought it was a hilarious like response to it, but I don't get mad because I don't know whether that person is a high occupancy toll holder.
Yeah.
You know, but the tailgating and the other one that just drives me nuts. I'm not like an absolute stickler for the rules, but it's like that whole, the double line where it says do not cross it. You will invariably see over 10 kilometers, you will see at least one.
All the time.
It's, and to me, I understand there's no physical barrier there, but it's like, have some, that to me is no different than being like, well, like I can roll through a stop sign.
Right.
Well, I can, you know, yeah, it's a red light, but I mean, if I stop and there's no one coming, I'm just going to go. It's like, come on, man. Like, there are rules for a reason. We're supposed to follow them. It's, you know, follow or don't use the lane. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, just because this keeps reminding me every time I tell a story, I'm like, oh, this one time. So kind of to that point, I was at a four-way intersection with a stop sign.
Yeah.
I stopped, I waited, and I took my time because I saw there was a police officer. So I'm like, okay, I really want to make sure I'm doing the right thing so I don't get like pulled over. Stop, 3 seconds, check, check, check. The guy behind me honks me.
So he honked me.
He honked his horn at me. And I was like, did you not notice that there was a cop there? And it wasn't like I was taking like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I took 3 seconds.
Okay, wait. Before we're coming down to the wire here. I don't know if I've done this on a podcast episode or not. Come to an all-way stop. There's you, and across the intersection, there's someone who got there first, right? Who has the right of way in that scenario? If they've arrived and then you arrive, who has the right of way?
And both people are going straight?
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm getting to.
Oh, I would say the person who got there first.
Yes.
Yeah.
However, if that person is making a left, this is on the law books. You can read about this. Do yourself a favor. Dig into it. If you took driver's training, you should know this. This is a fundamental rule of our roads. If you are making a left at an all-way stop, you no longer have the right of way.
Nobody
knows
this.
You have to treat it like an intersection where, you know, you have to let through traffic go, and then you get to go. I told you this story about that guy on the motorcycle mm-hmm. who freaked out at me. He stopped, and he was stopped for, like, kind of a prolonged period, and I just thought he knew. Now, I didn't, you know, torch it through the intersection because I had my, you know, suspicions. So I started going, and he started freaking out at me. And it was summertime and had the windows down. He's like, you have to stop. I was here first. And I was like, that's not how this works, man. So I just yelled at, like, you know, read the rule book. But anyways, that's one of those rules of the road that not a lot of people know. Look it up. I'm not lying to you guys. That is just the way it goes. And treat it properly.
I think that is a really good point, is that I think a lot of this road rage happens because people are simply unaware of what the rules are, or maybe they think they're above the rules.
Maybe we won't be able to help those idiots, but maybe we should do an episode like that, sort of a refresher of, you know, rules that maybe you forgot, like left lane banditing, like what to do at an all-way stop mm-hmm. when you're making a left and that sort of stuff. Let's do it.
Love that. We'll do it the next one.
All right.
Before today's Ask an Expert segment, here's a message from your friends at Auto Trader.
Can't find a car at your ideal price point? Auto Trader is the answer. Car prices are dropping across Canada, and Auto Trader has got you covered with hundreds of thousands of cars for you to choose from. Use our price badges to find a great deal at a great price today. Visit Auto Trader for more.
This question comes from our good buddy Maroon, one of our loyal listeners from day one. Hi, Jody and Dan. During the last snowstorm in Montreal, I drove my son to school in my mom's 2008 Toyota Camry. I was glad to be driving it because it still has a traditional handbrake. With so much snow on the ground and driving downhill, I saw the light change. I gently applied the brakes and noticed the car began slipping. I removed my foot off the brake pedal and began to pump the handbrake instead with the motion of up and down until we stopped. My son, who just started driving school, looked puzzled as a typical teenager asked, "Dad, what are you doing?" I explained to him the reason why we pump the handbrake. My question is, I noticed that new cars do not have the traditional handbrakes. Instead, there's a button or a switch. How do you pump the handbrake using the button?
You don't. That's just, you know, that's the reality. And to be honest with you, even that idea of pumping the handbrake is sort of, let's say it's like a grandfathered technique from a more primitive mechanical braking system, whereas nowadays with, you know, disc brakes being virtually universal,
right?
I think there's only a few, like the Tacoma used to be one that still had drum brakes. That's no longer the case. There are a few outliers, but generally speaking, disc brakes all around, ABS systems are better than ever before. So that idea mixed with, you know, just the fact that you can't do it anyways with these electronic parking brakes. It's physically not possible. Now, you can, not all vehicles, some vehicles you can apply at a certain, like below 5 kilometers an hour, if you pull that pull or push, whatever, the electronic parking brake, it will engage the brakes. But most of the time you have to be at a complete stop, because it's really what the electric parking brake is for is just like a mechanical parking brake. It's a parking brake. It's supposed to be, if you're parked on a hill,
don't roll away.
It's a safety net, because it literally is just a mechanical linkage that pulls those calipers tight so that you can't roll away. It's the back brakes, and it just keeps them locked in as a safety net. So no, that's just part of, you know, the advancement of vehicles. But it's not necessary these days.
I miss having a physical handbrake, because I like doing handbrake turns when it's snowy with my front-wheel drive car.
Do you have a handbrake in your car?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
It's old enough that it has one.
Yeah.
But you know what I saw recently?
Go on.
That I hadn't seen in a long time? a foot pedal operated emergency brake.
What were you driving, like a truck?
A Sentra.
Oh, I didn't know it had that.
And that is one of the few cars available today that still comes with rear drum brakes.
Holy.
Crazy.
Do you know, I think I went over this. I thought the Sentra, but that doesn't even count anymore. There's only one car in Canada, new car on the market today, that you can buy for less than 20 grand before tax. And it's only the Mitsubishi Mirage.
That is so crazy. Remember when you could buy a car for less than $10,000, a new car?
As recently as a few years ago, there was the Mirage, the Nissan Micra, and the Chevy Spark. All of them were battling it out for this like $9,998, and then one of them dropped to $996 and then $995. But the point is, you could buy them, the entry-level versions, for that price. Now the only one left is the Mirage, and it's like $16,000-some-odd. Before
That's
tax.
Too much.
So it's going to cost you well over 20 grand once you get your tax and destination and all that stuff thrown in. Unbelievable.
I miss having cheap cars available.
Same.
But thank you, Maroon, for your question and for your loyal support after all these episodes.
Of course.
If any of you have questions you would like to ask Dan or I, you could email expert@trader.ca. But that wraps up this episode. And until next time, drive safe.
And stop driving like idiots.
Stop it.